Okay, good evening. In honor of the upcoming Yom Kippur, I thought we should talk a little bit about one of the central obligations of Yom Kippur, that is the obligation to ask mechila from those who we have caused problems to. The Mishnah tells us in the Maseches Yuma that Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad She'yiratzes Chavero. Yom Kippur is not going to affect its atonement unless we appease our friends, unless we go and ask forgiveness for that which we've done wrong. So on the surface, it sounds like that means that if I cause somebody a problem, if I do something wrong to somebody, so I can't atone for that offense by simply going to Shul on Yom Kippur and crying my eyes out and davening, but I have a chiv to the victim to get the victim to be mochum, which is itself already a chiddush, because I could have thought that even when I hurt somebody else, that essentially is between me and God, because it was God who told me not to do it. So therefore, maybe I should be sufficient, it should be sufficient for me to just ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to be Malchum. So the fact that the victim has the status, that he is the baldover, so to speak, that he's in a position to grant the mechila, that itself is maybe not so obvious. That itself is a little bit of a chiddush. But here the Mishnah is taking it further, and telling us that Yom Kippur, the kapara is contingent on him being Muslim. So, if it just meant that I need him to do his part, that's one thing. But the Mishnah is telling us that also Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying he'll hold back his part in waiting for this mechila to be given. And some suggest, like the Prima Gaudium comments, that means if there is an Avera that is both Ben Adam Makom and Ben Adam Machaveru, then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so now I have a stake in this also, I'm not going to be mochel unless the individual who's involved is mochel. Or as the Pri Chadash notes, quoting from Shmuel Gemazin, that really, as we indicated before, every Avera Ben Adam L'Chavero is also a Ben Adam L'Makom. It also includes an offense against God, because God's the one who said not to do it. So therefore, every Avera Ben Adam L'Chavero is really a double Avera. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm not going to be mochel my chelek until the human victim is mochel his. But the Gra and the others take it further. And the Gra understands, as is quoted in later Sfarim and in the Siddur, that Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper means that the whole picture, the whole package of Yom Kippur, is not going to have effect unless I get mechila from my friend. So even if I want to do tshuva on the Chil Shabbos and on the Treifus and on the Bittul Torah and all of that, Yom Kippur is not going to be effective for any of that unless I ask for mechila. So that's a very striking idea. Now why should that be true? So in order to try to look at that a little bit, let's try to figure out what exactly is the nature of the obligation to ask mechil. What's the purpose? So on the one hand, I could have thought that the purpose is that essentially this victim has a claim on me. He can press charges, and I need him to drop the charges. So therefore, I need to ask mechila so that he will let go. But if that were the case, so then one might conclude that if the person is mochel on his own, let's say he goes on the radio and he says to the whole world, I'm mochel this guy. So I happen to hear this, I know, I don't have to ask him for mechil. So is that true? If the person announces that he's mochel, if I happen to know for whatever reason that this guy is mochel me without my asking, so maybe we should say that I don't have to ask mechil. This is a discussion some posts can have, is Tshuvas Az Nidbru. Rabbi Yom Yehoshua Zilber has a couple of Tshuvas about this. There's also a Tshuva in the Dvar Yehoshua and others far. And while there is some debate, it seems to be that the dominant position is that you still have to ask Mechil. That even if you know the person is Mochel, you're going to have to ask Mechil anyway. And that's why a lot of these posts can note that even, let's say, you know that the person who you offended recites the tefillah zakah. Now we know there is a special tefillah that you can find in the machzorim by the Chayei Adam, So if you have to not only get to shul on time, but you have to get to shul early. On Yom Kippur night, get a few minutes in advance, recite the Tefillah Zakah, where you basically admit to every avera known to man, and you're also then mochel, anybody who ever does anything to you, assuming that they don't owe you money, the money you still want, but you're mochel the avera. So maybe I have a good strategy. Maybe I should go to shul on Yom Kippur, see who says Tefillah Zakah, and then that year, I'll give these people a hard time, because I know they're in the habit of saying Tefillah Zakah, so they'll be mochel me anyway. I won't have to take my time to go ask for mechila. Or even better, you know, some people recite Kriya Shema Lamita, like the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Chav Ches, the Marzutra, when he would go to sleep at night, he'd say, Shara Leid Naman Detzar, and I forgive anyone who caused me any tzaras. So Marzutra is a good person to pick on then, because if you know, he'll always be mochel every night before he goes to sleep, so he can save me time. So it's unlikely this is the case. These posts can all seem to assume that even if you know the person says it's Tefillah Zakah, even if you know he says he's mochel everyone when he goes to sleep, so you still have to ask mechila anyway. Yes?
If you stole money from somebody, and
right,
somebody is mochel you on that money, do you still have a chiyuv to pay the money back?
If it mochel the money, or mochel the avera. Two separate things.
It's different.
Could be. We'll get to that a little bit. So, we'll get to the flip side of that. So let's see if you still have the question. So all of this is striking, because if the idea is that mechila is about getting somebody to drop the charges, so then it should work if they're mochel you on their own. Then that should be enough. And that doesn't seem to be the dominant view. Many point out there's a Gemara in Maseches Yuma, which tells a whole scary story about Rav, who had a problem with a certain butcher. And the Gemara says that around the time of Yom Kippur, so he made himself available near this butcher so that the butcher could come and ask for mechila. Which, as Rav Yitzchak Blazer points out, that's a kiyum in v'halachta b'drachot, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that during this period of time, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, so we assume that God is closer to us. We say, Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, says the Gemara b'himatzo, that's Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So too, just like God brings himself closer to us, so it's easier for us to ask for tshuva, for us to ask for mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too, Rav was making himself available to be able to have this guy asking for mechila. So the Sfarim ask, so if he's ready to be mochel, let him be mochel, why does he have to schlep over there? So apparently you see that there's still a need to ask for mechila. It's also an interesting question, this discussion, as to why it is that there's this whole focus on Yom Kippur. If I hurt somebody's feelings on Purim, so I should probably ask him for mechila on Shushan Purim. What's the idea of Yom Kippur? What's the idea of waiting till Yom Kippur? So some say, like the Mata Ephraim says, that of course you should ask for mechila right away, but the upper limit, the final deadline, is Yom Kippur. Others suggest, is an interesting statement in the Tshuvas Minchas Asher, it's not Rav Asher Weiss, it's a different Minchas Asher, of Pinchas Goldenberger, who suggested that if the person is Makbid, you have to ask him right away for Mechila. And if not, then you can wait till Yom Kippur. Interesting Shara, so you have to figure out what that means. So, what is the idea then, if it's not just about getting the person to drop the charges, to release the claims? So it would seem like there's something more going on here. So there's a joke that you ask a yeshiva guy if he wants to make his coffee sweeter, so he knows he's got to pour sugar into the coffee. So you can ask him, so what is it that makes the coffee sweeter? So is it the sugar? Or maybe it's not the sugar, maybe it's the stirring. Stirring makes the coffee sweeter, and the purpose of the sugar is just, you know that when the sugar dissolves, that's when you've stirred enough. So you can ask the same question when it comes to mechila, though. What's the idea of asking for mechila? Is it that you really want to obtain mechila? Or is it that when you obtain the mechila, that means you've done the right process in terms of asking? So basically, the getting of the mechila is just the way that you know that you've asked properly. And really the mitzvah is the asking. Now you might think that second possibility seems less likely, but maybe we're seeing here that maybe it's more likely. And that could explain certain dinim, as we'll see. But why should that be the case? Why should the process be so useful? So it could be that this is a way for a person to submit, a person to go through somewhat of an embarrassing experience, and in doing so, presumably have an effect on his personality. That this is a way of growing. The Gemara has a comment in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara says that kol osa davar avera u'mispayesh, a person does an avera and he is embarrassed. So says the Gemara, mochlin lo, he is forgiven. Okay, that makes sense. But the next part is, mochlin lo al kol avonosa. He's forgiven for everything. So why should he be forgiven for everything? He should be forgiven for that avera that he's embarrassed about. So many Sfarim suggest that you see that the process of feeling shame is a kapara, is part of the tshuva process, and this applies on a global level. This is mochel for much more, not just for this one avera. Some explain also that Marshal has a discussion, there's a practice that people who wanted to do tshuva would get up in front of the kehillah and they'd announce, Chatosi l'Hashem v'la Adam. I have sinned against God and I've sinned against man. So as Marshal discusses, so it seems to be out of order, right? The Mishnah told us we have to get mechila from man first. So therefore, shouldn't he have to say Chatasi l'Adam first? So he explains, or latest farim explain, that the whole idea of asking mechila is to submit yourself to this process of embarrassment. So once you get up there in public and you make this declaration, that's already a kiyum in asking mechila. So then already you can go on and say Chatasi l'Hashem first. An interesting idea. But this could also explain why we have this notion that the Shulchan Aruch relates in Tafrei Shvav over there that you should ask mechila three times if you don't get a good answer the first time. And if after the third time, so you don't get a positive response, then you're off the hook. Now, of course, we mean three serious efforts on separate occasions. It's not like you assume in elementary school that you just go up to somebody and say, punch somebody in the nose and say, okay, fine, I'm fine. So then you're off the hook. That's not the way it works. It means you ask three separate occasions, three separate serious different types of attempts. And then if it doesn't work, so then you're off the hook. So that's a very unusual concept because you don't find that anywhere else in life. Right? That if you want to borrow somebody's car, so you say to them, can I borrow the car? No, please, can I borrow the car? No, please, can I borrow the car? No, okay, I got it. So all of a sudden it becomes yours because you say no three times. It doesn't work in any other area of life. So why should it be if you have to obtain something here, if you have to obtain mechila, that if you ask three times, you don't get it, all of a sudden you win? So here also the idea seems to be that the focus is really on the process. That really the purpose of asking mechila is to go through the process of asking mechila, or at least a purpose of asking mechila. So if you go through a process that, by all reasonable standards, would have evoked mechila, and for some reason with this guy is not doing it, so then you're off the hook. Then you've done what you have to. Very interesting idea. So there's also a discussion the post can have. I remember once seeing on the cover of one of the Jewish weeklies a few years ago, you know, wanted to be modern and contemporary. So on the front page, it posed the question, can you ask mechila through email? So that's not really a new shaila. Just the E part is new. But can you ask mechila through mail? It's something the post can talk about. And they also ask, can you ask mechila through a shliach? And in both cases, so Sfarim right, that it could be that this is not really the ideal way to do things. It's better than nothing. If a person says the only way he can get up the courage to ask for mechila is if he uses an intermediary or if he uses the mail, so for sure we'll tell him better to do that than anything else. Than nothing, rather. Better to do that than nothing. But it might not be as good as asking in person, because if the whole process is really to go through this procedure and to have this confrontation, so to mitigate that confrontation might really fall short a little bit of what it is that we're looking for. This could also explain that Vilna Gaon relates the name of the Medrash, that there was also an approach, this we don't see too often nowadays, but if somebody fails to get mechila from somebody, he asks and he's not succeeding, So he should gather together a minyan. And he should say, I sinned against this person. I tried to get mechila. It's not happening. So I just want the world to know that I'm sorry. So it seems to me that's another way of putting yourself through the ringer, so to speak. And that should also accomplish that same goal of mechila if you can't do it through getting the person to cooperate. And it's interesting, this idea of a minyan. So the Shuvas Rav poem says, purpose of the minyan is really for publicity. So maybe it doesn't have to be, for example, a minyan of men. Maybe it has to be a dominion of people, men and women, whatever will make the matter be well known. Because maybe it's about going through this public embarrassment rather than anything else. Neir HaShulchan understands differently, understands that it's there to evoke the Shechina, and that should be productive towards the Kapara. But that's a little bit of a discussion. So all of this seems to indicate that one of the reasons we want to ask for Mechila is to submit oneself. So that gives us then two purposes. Either we need to get the release of claims, we need to get them drop the charges, or we need to go through this process that's going to be submissive. But there is a third purpose as well. And that it could be that there's also an inyan that you want to try to fix the problem. So if I broke somebody's leg and I ask him for mechila, so he might give me mechila, but his leg's still going to be broken. So maybe the whole inyan of asking mechila is that you also have to address that underlying bad feeling. And that's also central to the kapara on Yom Kippur. If the Medrash tells us that when the whole trial is going to be going on in Shemayim for us and against us, so one of the arguments that will be advanced on behalf of the Jewish people is, look at the Jews, look how angelic they are. They're just like by the angels, so there's no fighting amongst them. So too, the Jews also are in a state of shalom. The Jews are also in a state of achdus, and they make one unit. And we find there is this notion in Chazal, Medrash says in various places, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that the Jews, Bizman Shehem Aguda Achas, at a time when they create one unit, Afilu Avdu Avodah Zarah Ani Mo'echlam, even if they're involved in Avodah Zarah, even if they're involved in pretty bad stuff, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mo'echlam. That's not a recommendation for Avodah Zarah, but it's a recommendation for the Achdus, for creating this type of unity that's supposed to bring about a kapara. So then it could be that we could understand why the Vilna Gaon would say, for example, that all of the kapara of Yom Kippur is totally on asking mechila, and why we would find that this notion of mechila is connected to Yom Kippur, because we want to try to get the kapara through the Achdus. And therefore, what we're trying to do is not only to get them to release claims, but to effect a genuine reconciliation. It's interesting, the Chassam Sofer has a comment in his drushes that Bizman HaBayis, there wasn't so much of a need for asking for Mechila. It's because the Karbanos brought us together. So the Karbanos were unifying. But after the Chorban, there became a greater need for asking Mechila, because as he understands, this is one of the purposes of asking Mechila, is to bring us all together, and therefore that's all the more necessary when there isn't the Beis HaMikdash in order to accomplish that. So it's also interesting to note Baruch Lazarevsky, who's a Rav in Philadelphia, and his Chuvis, it's called Tom Baruch, that he notes that really we have two Mishnayos that tell us about the obligation of Mechila. There's a Mishnah in HaChovel, where the Mishnah says, Daf Tzadi Beis in Baba Kama, that even though you pay for all the damages if you hurt somebody, you still are not done until you ask him for Mechila. And we had our Mishnah in Yuma that we started with. So as he notes, the Mishnah in Baba Kama says, Ad Shei Vakesh Mimenu. And our Mishnah in Yuma says, Ad Shei Ratzes Chaveru. And perhaps it's two separate concepts, that Mechila is something you need to obtain. You need to get this dropping of the claims. But there's also an inyan of ritzoy, there's also an inyan of appeasing the person. And that might be another step beyond basically just obtaining this mechila. And that could also be, as the Eshel Avram of the Bechatcher Rav notes, that maybe that's a reason to connect the whole kapara to Yom Kippur also. Not just because you need it for Yom Kippur to work, but also you want it to be genuine. So if you ask mechila too soon, you might get it, but it's not going to necessarily reflect in actual forgiveness, in actual smoothing over. And in order to get that smoothing over, it might sometimes be indicated to wait rather than to do it so quickly. And you find this idea in other places as well. It's interesting. So this relates to what you were asking before. So there seems to be a little bit of a steer in the Rambam, because it's not clear when you have a chiyuv tashlumin, when you have an obligation to pay back money. So does that also mean there's an obligation of mechila? So in the context of gzeila, so the Rambam writes, you have to give back what you stole, and you have to ask for mechila. And in the context of nezikin, you damage somebody's property, so he just says you have to pay. It doesn't say that you have to ask for mechila. So what's the difference? So the Lacha Mishnah suggests that the difference is that gzeila, so that benefits you. So it's more of a personal offense, more likely that you did it intentionally. While nezikin doesn't benefit you, so it's less likely to be some kind of intentional offense against the victim. So therefore, the rift that's created through theft is greater than the rift that's created through nezikin. So nezikin doesn't really need a mechila as much, while maybe theft, that does require actual mechila in order to get past it. There is a famous debate that might be relevant to all this, probably is relevant to all this, that, as we know, there is a classic work on the laws of Lashon Hara, it's called Sefer Chofetz Chaim, probably heard of, and an older contemporary of the Chofetz Chaim was Rabbi Saul Salanter, who's the founder of the Musar movement. So one would have thought that this Sefer Chofetz Chaim was right up his alley, was right up Rabbi Saul Salanter's alley. This is probably going to be a Sefer that he'd appreciate very much. And indeed, that seems to be the case. There are many indications he was a big fan of this book. However, there was a limit. The Chafetz Chaim asked him to write a Haskama. This is related in a number of Sfarim. The Chafetz Chaim asked for a Haskama, and Rabbi Yisrael refused to give a Haskama. So why do you refuse to give a Haskama? So he said, because there's one psak, there's one ruling in this Sefer that I disagree with. I don't want anyone to think that I agree, and I can't put my name on it to give that impression. So the Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, why don't you just write the Haskama anyway? And then in the bottom you'll put a little footnote that says, by the way, on page 312 there's a ruling that I disagree with. So he responded that nobody reads the Haskamas anyway. So they'll see my name, and they'll think I endorse the whole Sefer, and they won't know that I disagree with this one psak. So what was this earth-shattering, controversial psak that he didn't want to sign on to? So it sounds like the Chafetz Chaim is saying, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, that let's say I speak Lashon Hara about my friend, and my friend doesn't know that I said this about him. So he is right now blissfully ignorant. And I'm going to call him up and say that I have to ask for mechila, because that's my obligation come Yom Kippur time. So I want you to know that I have been going around saying the following things about you. Sounds like from the Chofetz Chaim, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, you have to do that. And Rabbi Yisrael said, Chas v'sholom, so nos dvarim. You're not allowed to hurt people's feelings. This guy doesn't know what you said. And now you're going to tell him, you're going to cause him great anguish. You can't do that. So that was the controversial point. And there's a whole discussion, the whole literature, whether the Chofetz Chaim really meant it the way we described it, maybe meant it in a more extreme or in a less extreme case. Tshuvas Chayi Halevi and others talk about various interpretations of what he meant. Maybe he only meant the guy's going to find out anyway, so you might as well tell him yourself, or he already knows somebody said it, doesn't know who said it. But maybe the Chofetz Chaim didn't mean that if it was so completely unknown to him, he was really could have been blissfully ignorant forever. Maybe he wouldn't have said you should tell him. There's a whole discussion if he means it the way it sounds. But in any event, it seems that Rabbi Yisrael may have had the upper hand in this machlokas. It says in the Art Scroll children's book about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that Rav Aaron Cutler had commented about Rabbi Yisrael. By Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that somebody asked him once, how could Rabbi Yisrael Salanter argue on Rabbeinu Yonah? Because the Chafetz Chaim quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, so he's a Rishon. So how could he argue on Rabbeinu Yonah? So Rav Aaron Cutler said that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Tanahu Pali. You know, he's a throwback to the Rishonim. He was on such a madrega, you could argue, on the Rishonim. So you should know that this is not really a kula, this is really a chumra. He's not saying you're exempt from asking for mechila. He's saying you can't ask for mechila. So it means basically you're stuck. So the best etza here is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And it's probably, this is a good avera to avoid, because it is kind of hard to fix. Nonetheless, the Sfarim do suggest other strategies. If we assume that indeed you should not ask for mechila, so then what should you do? So one suggestion that's out there is that maybe we could take advantage of a certain sociological reality, that nowadays the way things have developed is that every Yom Kippur, so people run around basically on autopilot saying Yemolchumi, Yemolchumi, Yemolchumi. So that's not really so ideal. If you look in Hilchos Mechila, so really you're not supposed to do it like that. You're supposed to say specifically and carefully, you know, 2 weeks ago I punched you in the nose, I realize now that was probably not a good idea, and I hope you'll forgive me. But to just blanketly say Yemolchumi, Yemolchumi, it's not really what we're talking about. You're supposed to have some intent and some specificity. However, the fact that people do this, as Rav Sternbuch points out, Rav Warman points out, so that does give the opportunity to address the situation, because you can just say to the person during this whole open season, general mechila time, are you mechumi, and they're not going to necessarily have to explain that you said stuff about them. Which means that you have to watch for your timing. If you call the person up on Shushan Purim and you haven't seen him in 3 years, and you say, hi, I'm wondering if you're mochumi, so I'll probably figure out that you said something about him on Purim that you shouldn't have. So you have to make sure to do this close to Yom Kippur time. But if you do that, then that will hopefully be one way to address it. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in a Sefer on the Rambam, so he discusses this whole story in detail, and there he suggests that you can't ask mechila, so the way you should deal with Lashon Hara is that you should try to counteract it with positive information. Even though the whole point is Lashon Hara is famously difficult to fix, famously difficult to undo the effects, but that's nonetheless the only approach you have to try to counteract it, try to do something to balance out the negativity. So this whole machlokas might seem to be about what exactly is the purpose of asking for mechila. Is the purpose of mechila to get the release, to get this waiver, so to speak? Or is it to embarrass oneself? Or is it for the sake of making shalom, in which case you can understand Rabbi Shmuel's point that to cause anguish through asking mechila is not going to really be productive, will be more counterproductive. So all of that, it can be relevant to this issue. It could also be relevant to issues in Hilchos Lashon Hara. We can talk about that if we're talking about Lashon Hara right now. If we're talking about mechila, so we'll assume that it's relevant to issues in mechila. So if we assume that that's also a function of mechila to try to cause a peaceful atmosphere, so then we could also understand why there would be also a obligation to some degree on the victim. That, first of all, if possible, maybe the victim should even initiate the process if he is in a position to do that. And if not that, then he should at least cooperate. So the Mishnah in Bava Kama says, the same Mishnah talks about asking for mechila. So the Mishnah says that how do we know, Mishnah quotes a pasuk, how do you know that somebody should not be an achzar, somebody should not be cruel and refuse to be mochel? In the Talmud Yerushalmi, the edition of the Mishnah that's printed in the Yerushalmi, it says, how do you know a person should not be a chote? Calls it a sin. So there it comes out that to fail to give mechila is treated like an avera. So much so that there's a whole discussion that the poskim have, the Rishon, Rishuvus HaRash, and others, that maybe we should say that if somebody swears he's never going to forgive somebody, which unfortunately happens, that maybe that shvuah should not be effective, because maybe that should be a shvuah lavra la Torah, it's a shvuah against the Torah, because you don't have the right to be mevatel your obligation to give mechila. Similarly, there's also, I think the Rosh has a tshuva, some of the tshuva about if a father says to a son, you can't forgive this person, you can't ever tolerate this person, that maybe that should not be obligatory through kibud av aim, because we know the parent's not allowed to command the child to do something against the Torah. And therefore, to not forgive can be considered also to be in violation of the Torah, just as Chil Shabbos or something like that. So just to add one point, Among these lines, there is a discussion. It is very wonderful. Svarim Ben Adam L'Chaver is called L'Reacha Kamocha by Rabbi David Aryav. So in one of his pieces there, so he has a whole discussion about the nature of Mechila. And he wants to know if Mechila is comparable to monetary Mechila, your Mochila debt, or is it a whole different concept? And he notes as a diuk that in the comments on this mission of Bavakama, he noted a difference between Rashi and the Meiri, a very subtle difference. That Rashi says that you should ask Mechila because the person is doeg, present tense, the person is worried about his problem. And the Meiri says a past tense word, the person was worried. So he suggests a very subtle difference, but he suggests that this is indicative of two different attitudes. That the Meiri is talking about something happened in the past, so therefore this person has a claim on you and you have to get him to drop it. While the Rashi is talking about a current issue, that right now this person is anguished, and you have to address that anguish. And perhaps that shows two different models of Mechila. Is it basically a debt that has to be cleared? Or is it addressing a current tension that has to be resolved? And he writes various nafkaminas there about what if a person is mochel and changes his mind, if a person is mochel without fully understanding what the story was, under false pretenses. Are we talking about some formal Mechila? Or are we talking about addressing the situation? It was a story that you probably saw about the stipler. That the stipler showed up at somebody's bar mitzvah in Bnei Brak, and no one could figure out what he was doing there. And so he explained at the time that when this boy was bar mitzvah, when he was 8 years old, or 5 years before, so the stipler accidentally hurt his feelings. And so he said that he saw him davening on Yom Kippur with a big sitter, and he thought it was a gemara. And he said to the boy that it's not a time for learning, it's time for davening, and he realized it was actually a sitter. So they wanted to ask him for mechila. But it's cut and lav bar mechila. So therefore, he had to wait till his bar mitzvah to come ask him for mechila. So that's assuming a monetary model, that this is like mumminus, the person has a monetary debt, which is one way of looking at things. While alternatively, we could see it differently. We could see it as more addressing a current emotional reality, which presumably a cotton is also available to address. So he suggests, as is a good advice, that we should probably be machmer for both possibilities, and it's probably the case, as we've seen, that there are both elements, that there is this tiny person that can have on you that you have to get released, and there is also this issue of shalom, which also has to be resolved, and therefore we need to try to ask for mechila in a way that will accomplish both those goals to the greatest degree possible. So just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we spoke about the fact that there is an obligation to ask for mechila. The Mishnah says in Kippur is not going to be mechaper until you do that. We saw different interpretations of what that means. It won't be mechaper for that avera. It won't be mechaper for a ben adam l'makom that's also part of it. Or all the averas have a ben adam l'makom also. Or the Graz version that's not mechaper for anything. And then we discussed why that should be. We talked about the question of whether mechila, if mechila is given automatically, is there still a need to ask? We saw that many achronim thought there was, which was surprising, and that tefillah zakah doesn't work, and that Mar Zutra's phrase doesn't work. You have to simply ask for mechila as well. They brought a raya from the Gemara about Rav and the butcher. And we also saw a discussion of why Yom Kippur should be the time period. Why shouldn't it be whenever you do the Avera? So either the idea that that is the final deadline, or that makes a difference whether the person was makbid or not. And then we discuss so what this purpose could be of asking mechila if it's not just to get the waiver of claims. So it could be that it's for the purpose of going through embarrassment, as the Gemara says, kol alisadavar aver misbayesh, and that could explain some things such as the Marshal's whole story about a person getting up in front of the tzibur and saying chatos l'Hashem l'Adam, as opposed to the reverse order. And we talked about the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says yes three times, so you're pater from asking, even though you haven't obtained what you're looking for. Apparently, again, the focus is on the process. And then we talked also about the question of whether Mechila works through a shliach or through a letter, even though that mitigates the confrontation. So how does that play a role? And then also the Vilna Gaon's Medrash about bringing together a minion and going through that process, whether the minion is there for public publicity or whether it's there to bring the Shechina, two different approaches, the Rav Polam and the Aruch HaShulchan. And then we talked about the other idea that it's there to bring Shalom, that there's still this tension that has to be fixed, and maybe the Kapara and Yom Kippur is also dependent on their bringing about of Shalom at this time. And we talked about the difference in the Mishnayos, Ad Sheyivakesh and Ad Sheyiratzeh, and the Chasam Sofer's drashas about how the Beis HaMikdash used to serve the function of bringing people together, and therefore now we have a greater need to ask for Mechila, and the Eshel Avram of the B'chatcha Rav's point that therefore it makes sense maybe sometimes to Davka wait a little bit to have a more effective reconciliation. And we talk about the Lecha Mishnah's resolution of the steer and the Rambam. The Rambam says for Gzela you have to ask for Mechila but not for Nezikin, maybe because Gzela is more of a tension creator because it's more intentional. And all of these issues all address the point that it's also about bringing Shalom, not just about getting this tour, and how that also could be related to the machlokas between Rav Shaul Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim, but if you should ask Mechila from somebody who doesn't know that you spoke Lashon Hara about them, Chafetz Chaim, based on Rabbi Yonah, says you do, and Rav Shaul said Chas V'Shalom. We discussed some discussion as far about whether Chafetz Chaim really meant it exactly like that, but it seems to be that Rav Shaul Salanter's opinion seems to be more accepted. And then we talked about various approaches to get Mechila for Lashon Hara, either use the general Erevim Kippur Mechila or perhaps to counteract it with positive information, and how all this seems to relate to this topic as well. And then we talked about the fact that therefore this also puts a burden on the victim that he should be mochel. The Mishnah says that there's a source that one should not be an achzar and be mochel, but the Yerushalmi has it as a chote, and we saw that there's some discussion about whether somebody who takes a shvua not to forgive is he considered to be nishbal avor la Torah. And also if a father tells his son he's not allowed to be mochel, maybe that also should not count within the realm of kibud av v'aim because it's la avor la Torah. And well, then we just discussed the L'Reacha Kamocha's analysis of what Mechila is. Is Mechila comparable to monetary Mechila? Is it comparable to other types of Mechila? Or to some other phenomenon? And he was Medayik in Rashi and Meiri, whether a person is worried about his problems or has worried about his problems, and how that affects this issue, and how that brings about the question of whether it's a more monetary model. He mentioned the Stipler's view that he couldn't get Mechila from a cotton, comparing it to a monetary model. And the suggestion that he concludes there that one should be mochel for both possibilities, which certainly seems to be good advice, particularly as we approach Yom Kippur and we get closer to the day. So we hope that we will effectively carry out this obligation to ask Mechila as is properly done. And it should be a source of bracha and hatzlacha, slicha, and kapara for all of us, and a wonderful new year. Should have a wonderful yantif. Baz Hashem, we'll see you after Sukkot. And it should be only good things.